Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Talk Radio.
You're going to be listening to one of the smartest people that you probably, and you know who this guy is. It's me.
He's Jim Blasingame.
I am smart. I am smart. S-M-R-T. I mean S-M-A-R-R-T.
The Small Business Advocate.
Welcome back. It's 34 after the hour. Thank you very much for joining me. Thanks for hanging out with me. It's my pleasure. As always, you're going to be glad you hung out with us because our good friend Don Cooper is back with us, ladies and gentlemen. Don is the sales heretic. I'm going to get him to explain himself about that in just a minute. But he's one of the guys who goes into the marketplace and helps organizations make sure that their sales organization, their sales strategy, their sales effort is hitched up the right way and moving in the right direction, and everybody is working off the same music, and he's got some good stuff for us right now. Don Cooper, welcome back to the show.
Good morning, Jim.
It's good to have you back.
Thank you. Always good to be back.
Now, I've always known you were a heretic,
yes,
Don, but now you're the sales heretic. Tell the audience what a heretic is.
A heretic is a nonconformist, an original thinker, a questioner. Somebody who doesn't simply believe the prevailing dogma, but rather thinks for themselves and comes to their own conclusions.
But a heretic, here's one thing about a heretic, though. See, a heretic is not a non-believer.
No.
A heretic is a true believer, actually, but just doesn't agree with, as you said, the conventional wisdom, the way things have become.
Exactly. A heretic is someone who's looking for the truth,
yeah,
but doesn't believe others have already found it.
Right. Exactly. And that they're headed in the wrong direction. And so now that we got that on the table, how do you apply your heretical attitude toward the way people sell today?
Well, a lot of what I teach people flies in the face of conventional sales wisdom. I tell people to do things that other sales experts don't say, and vice versa. A lot of people are out there saying, always be closing, ABC, always be closing.
Yep.
And I think that's a terrible idea. Because if you
well,
try
that's,
to close,
that's heretical. That's, yeah. There's no question about that. So why do you think that's a bad idea?
Because if you try to close at the wrong time, you'll get resistance from your prospect.
Right.
If you pay attention, you do the right things, the prospect will tell you when to close.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that requires a little more effort, a little more knowledge, a little more skill, but it's going to be a lot more effective. So a lot of what I teach is very unique, and I help people see different ways of selling than what they're used to. I don't believe in a lot of the old, time-honored, manipulative, high-pressure tactics.
That's pretty heretical. What about sales goals? Do you think they're still important?
Absolutely. Sales goals are critically important. If you want to achieve stuff, you need to know what you're trying to achieve.
Even in 2009, even when people are thinking nobody's going to buy anything, we still need to set sales goals.
Absolutely.
How do we do that?
Well, you want to start with some long-term goals. What do you want to do for the year, or what do you want to do for the quarter? And whatever your goal is, it needs to be something objective. So it needs to be definable, it needs to be measurable. And then work backward from there. Once you've got your annual goal established, and you're going to create your annual goal based upon what you believe are the current conditions, what you believe future conditions will be. So you might scale back your 2009 goal versus your 2008 goal, and that's fine. Or you might get halfway through 2009 and decide to raise your goal. That's also fine. But create your goal. What do you want to sell? Do you want to sell more of a certain product line? Do you want to sell a specific number? Do you want to sell a number relative to your previous year? Do you want to move a particular item in your line? What is it that's important to you for the year?
When I was with Xerox decades ago, someone at the company came up with how much sales the company needed to have, and also in what categories, what product lines that need to be. I guess probably what they did was they came up with each product line. They said, okay, in order to be successful, we have to sell this much of each product line. They added all that up, And then they went out, they came up with the entire beast that had to be slayed. And then they went out to each division, each state, each territory, each sales rep, and they divided it up that way. And it actually isn't a complicated scientific way, is it? It's really just adding and subtracting and dividing.
Pretty much. Start with what is it you want to achieve. By the end of 2009, what do you want your sales to have looked like? And then from that, go back and figure out, okay, well, what do I need to do this quarter or this month?
Mm-hmm.
Because sales often have cycles. You might be busy in the spring and the fall, slow in the summer. So you will adjust your sales goals for each month or each season based upon what you expect.
Shouldn't there also be a conversation about volume versus profit?
No question.
All right, hold on to that thought. We're going to get Don to help us with this some more right after these messages. 20 till. This is good stuff, folks. Don't miss it. We'll be right back. Stay with me.
I was walking down the street one day. A man came up. Put on your red dress, baby. Lord, we going out tonight.
We're back at 17 till. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and my website's our smallbusinessadvocate.com. That's the mothership. That's the flagship. That's where you can find all the things that we do here, which you can also find our knowledge base there, which is also askjim.biz. And at smallbusinessadvocate.com, you can find a link to my blog, which is jimsblog.biz. So check all that out. Use it to your advantage. We built it for you. No barriers to entry. You can find thousands of pieces of information there, either articles or archives or past interviews that I've done on every topic known to small business, and hundreds of Brain Trust members, like our good friend Don Cooper, who's with us right now. And don't forget to subscribe to my free newsletter, which you can do right there on the homepage and right off of the homepage. And also... And that's what we send you every Sunday afternoon by email. Get you ready for the week ahead. Don Cooper and I are talking about sales goals. You were helping us understand about breaking down, you know, coming up with what the number needs to be. For example, for a small business, you know, to me, if I were running a typical small business out there, which I have one, but it's not that typical, but if I were running a supply company or a retail operation or something like that, I'd be saying, okay, how much gross profit do I need in a year to be able to make sure that I can employ everybody and pay all my bills? How much gross profit do I need? And then find the sales that will deliver that gross profit, which brings me back to my point about having a discussion about the sales volume versus profitable sales. What do you think?
I agree. Too many people confuse the two things. They look at their top line number and not their bottom line number. And depending on what you do and what your margin is, you might hit your sales goal, but discover that your actual profit goal is nowhere near what it needs to be. So you need to establish both of those things and figure out how you can create enough gross sales to create enough profit to cover your expenses, to pay your bills, to pay yourself.
Yeah. And so maybe in 2009, we really need to focus on that, and not only on the customers that will do business with us, but the customers who will pay us quicker than 90 days.
Well, you want to look at that. You also want to look at who your profitable customers are.
Yep.
Everybody has some clients that are just not profitable.
Mm-hmm.
Because they hammer you on margin, or they pay way too late, or they buy small, tiny amounts, and it costs more to service them than you actually make.
Yeah.
And those customers, you really are better off without.
Well, there is, in a slow year, though, in a tough year, there is something to be said about cash flow.
Cash flow is good.
There's no question that this might not be the year to be greedy about profit, but you really got to be. You got to be. But when I talk about profit, I think 2009, Don, is not the year to get greedy about your bottom line, but it needs to be a year that you stay focused on the middle line, which is your gross profit. That's the number that you wind up after paying things off for sales, your cost of goods sold. That's the number that pays payroll, pays the rent, pays the utilities.
Right. I'm not in favor of greed. I think pure, unchecked greed helped get us into this mess.
Yeah.
And if you look at a lot of the corporate titans on Wall Street,
right.
I mean, you see greed run amok. And so I'm
yeah.
not advocating that. But at the same time, business owners have to take care of themselves and look out for their businesses. And if you have a client that's paying you over the course of 6 months rather than 30 days, you have a cash flow problem.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you're paying money to service that client and they're not paying you for 3 months or 6 months, that's a problem for your business.
Well, and see, in times past, a lot of small businesses had access to credit.
Right.
That could let them float that. And if you charged enough for the product, you could justify it. But today, even though the truth is, Don, most small businesses that are operating, that have a track record, most of them can get credit, at least some credit. But the days of having credit where, you know, wherever you wanted it, those days are really not around right now.
No. No, and won't be for a while.
Yeah. So let's talk about breaking our sales goal down into smaller bite sizes. We talked about the annual sales goal, the product sales goal, the gross profit sales goal. Should we break it down further into monthly, quarterly, daily, that kind of thing?
Absolutely. Start with annually and then break it down to either quarterly or monthly. And then from there, break it down to weekly goals. You don't need to break it down far in advance.
Mm-hmm.
But you should have an idea at the beginning of a month, for example, what are your goals for each week as far as sales? Because if you don't create a weekly sales plan, you'll ignore them. And too many small business owners don't focus enough on their sales and making sure their sales happen. So you need to create a plan for your sales each week and then even each day. So at the start of your week, look at what do you want to accomplish sales-wise each day and what needs to happen in order to accomplish those sales each day.
And there's one other element in all this, Don, as you well know, and that is the selling cycle of your products.
Yes.
If you sell socks, your selling cycle is about 30 seconds.
Right.
If you sell battleships, your selling cycle is about 10 years.
Precisely.
So you got to make sure that in that work that you're doing this week, if you have a 30-day selling cycle, then you need to be closing something you started 30 days ago and putting something in motion that you can close 30 days from now.
Precisely. And that's a big part of the value of starting with an annual goal and breaking it down.
And this is why monkeys aren't doing this, right?
No.
It's not easy, folks. This is not for sissies or for monkeys. It takes brain power and thought and planning to do this, to be successful. Otherwise, you know, you might want to just if you can't do this in your business, you probably need to go clock in tomorrow. 10 till. Here's Richie Valens to take us out. Don Cooper and I will be right back. We're back at 7 till. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and there, the bird is bringing us back. Don Cooper is our guest. He's the sales heretic. And Don, I need to get you to give us your website, please.
That website is www.doncooper.com.
COOPER, doncooper.com. Tell us what we'll find when we get there, Don.
You'll find articles, you'll find my blog, a whole bunch of resources to help you increase your sales.
Tell us what you do for your customers.
I do seminars, workshops. I train sales teams and customer service teams. I speak at industry conferences and conventions. Basically, I help people sell more stuff.
So if I've got a 6 or 8 salesperson sales staff, you could come in and help us get organized. What if I need you to help us create these kinds of goals we've been talking about? Can you do that?
Absolutely. I do a lot of consulting work with companies, and I'll help them create goals, create plans, strategies.
What about help get a sales manager established?
Yeah.
You know, that's a big deal for a lot of small businesses. Is one of the huge rites of passage for a small business is to actually have enough business that they can set aside the resources to have a sales manager.
And the mistake they make is not realizing that the job of a sales manager is completely different than the job of a salesperson.
Right.
And very often the person
they want that guy to sell, don't they?
Yeah.
Too.
Or they don't realize that that person now has a different job and that person needs different skills. So what made a great salesperson might make a lousy sales manager.
They probably your best salesperson would be the worst manager prospect.
That can happen.
And it's possible that your worst salesperson could be the best manager.
It's entirely possible.
I've seen that happen before.
They're completely different skill sets.
So those are the kinds of things you help your clients with, and I wanted my audience to know about that, folks. So that's doncooper.com. Check that out. Give him a look there and see what you think. All right, Don, let's talk about some other things. One of the things that I'm trying to remember, was it Michelangelo who said... How did he say? He was talking about your grasp. I'm trying to remember how he said that. I know Henry Ford said, whether you think you can or you think you can't, either way, you're right.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
And I think Michelangelo said the crime is not in setting a goal too high and missing it. That's what he said.
Mm-hmm.
That the shame is not in setting a goal so high that you miss it, but setting one so low that you reach it.
Right. And that's what can happen in an economy like this. People are motivated by fear, and they're scaling everything back, and they're seeing that the sky is falling and believing the world's about to end. And the thing is, no matter how bad the economy gets, some people are still making sales and making money.
Yeah.
I've got
somebody's
clients.
Buying something from somebody somewhere right now.
I've got clients, consulting clients right now, companies that are looking at having record years.
Yeah. Yeah.
And their sales are booming because they are taking a proactive approach. They're investing in their marketing. They're investing in their training. And they are going out there and finding clients because there are people that need to buy stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And they're going to buy it. The question is, who will they buy it from, you or your competitors?
And the people who become cavemen are the ones who aren't going to be here a year from now.
Yeah, if you attract everything and you go and you hide and try to bunker down... you're going to have a hard time surviving. I saw some research the other day that showed in the last several recessions, the companies that went out and increased their marketing did much better both during and after the recession than companies that didn't.
And, you know, there's something called, I call it the homecoming queen syndrome. You know, sometimes people, you know, the reason the homecoming queen didn't get invited to the prom is because everybody thought she had a date.
Exactly.
So when we drive by and we say, I don't think those people need anything, they probably got everything they need. If enough people do that, when you drop by, they're going to say, thank you for coming by. We need to buy something.
Absolutely.
I need a date.
You have no idea what
it can happen. I've seen that happen before.
Yeah. You never know what company who might be a prospect for you is right now upset at their current supplier.
Yeah.
Or just had their supplier go out of business.
That's right.
You never know what opportunity is out there. So you've got to set down a goal for yourself and then put a plan in place to reach that goal.
But be careful that the reason they're not doing business with that other company is because they didn't pay them. Be careful
right.
about that.
You
do have to think about that. Hey, Don, thanks for being here. Good job today.
My pleasure, Jim.
DonCooper.com. Don, thanks for being here. Happy New Year. Let's have a good 2009 together.
Absolutely.
Thanks. See you later. I got to wrap it up, ladies and gentlemen. This is the last segment of 2008. The year of the whiplash. The Chinese call it the year of the rat. It was an interesting year, as we knew it would be. And I'm frankly ready to get it put to bed. I'm ready to start 2009. And you have my pledge to do my part to make 2009 a great one. And I'm going to start by broadcasting live tomorrow right here on the Small Business Advocate Show. Happy New Year, everybody.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.